Ahoy, Vachon. How's the French say, Vachon? This is the Brown Briefly, where less is more, more or less, coming to you live over KVSH 101.9 FM, Voice of Vachon, your island connection. Please make us part of your day. And be advised that our assertions and views, which can modestly be described as progressive persuasion, do not in any way reflect the opinions of KVSH or Voice of Vachon.
That was the voice of Brian Brown, creator of the Brown Briefly. Brian started the Briefly and brought his high standards of hosting an intelligent discussion of current events, laced with humor and empathy. Brian's central concept was less is more, more or less, and he invariably offered quite a bit more. Today, as we start what passes for spring on Vachon Island and for the Brown Briefly, let me introduce the Brieflies. Former airline pilot, treetop landing aficionado, flight instructor, Vachon Airport commissioner, West Texas devotee, and former, yes, it is not an oxymoron, military intelligence officer, Truman O'Brien, is joining us from behind the board at the Voice of Vachon's Gene Bosch broadcast studio in bustling and bodacious downtown Vachon. Good morning, Truman.
Good morning. I have the big red switch in hand, ready to go.
Good. Guiding Truman and keeping him on course, even if it is into the treetops, is Truman's wingman, arbitrator, mediator, two-time Fulbright scholar, former constitutional law professor, and Washington State Assistant Attorney General Craig Bellis. How are you this morning, Craig?
I'm good, Bruce. Looking forward to the show today. Thank you.
Should be a great show. Thank you. Zooming in from home is the voice of Indivisible Vachon and the Vachon Climate Action Group, or indefatigable, if I can say that correctly, indefatigable defender of democracy who strives to create a livable planet overseen by a government we can all appreciate or at least tolerate. Kevin Jones. Welcome, Kevin.
Good to be here, Bruce. I'm enjoying the spring sunshine filtering through my window as we commence the Briefly today.
It is spring, we have to remind ourselves, right? And I am Bruce Hallman, just having settled back into life on Vachon after a sojourn in the Southern Hemisphere, zooming in from the bluffs above beautiful KVI Beach. Also joining us today are folks who have been deeply involved in creating and developing the Vachon High School Cherry Tree Ceremony that will take place this next Sunday at 1 p.m. at Vachon High School. John Stanton is one of the moving forces behind this recognition project and the one who got the ball rolling for this weekend to happen. Welcome, John.
Well, thanks very much. Happy to be here.
Good to have you. And Joe Okamoto is one of the curators for the Joy and Heartache Japanese Americans on Vachon exhibit at the Vachon Heritage Museum and has worked to connect Vachon Japanese American families to this ceremony. Welcome, Joe.
Thanks, Bruce. I'm happy to be here.
It's good to see you. And hopefully joining us in a bit will be Tina Shattuck, who is the executive director of the Friends of Mukai, and one of the key reasons that the Mukai Farm and Garden has become the island treasure that it is. So we'll welcome Tina. Tina's just coming on right now. Let me just jog here for a minute, and let's see if Tina comes on. Hi, Tina. I just introduced you. Just say hi.
Good morning, everybody. Hello.
Good. Good timing, Tina. Before we jump into talking about the cherry tree ceremony, let's take a moment, check in with everyone about what special things you have experienced on Vachon this past week. Truman, what's up for you?
Well, I'm afraid that I must have somehow... made the appliance gods angry. I have had a clothes washer and dryer for probably more than 25 years, and the dryer, you know, it gave up most of its functions several years ago, but the washer was hanging in there. But Friday afternoon, I'm upstairs and I hear this horrendous sound coming out of my basement, and I get down there to find my washer dancing all over the room with water spraying everywhere. there. And it seems that I had too many sheets, you know, the bed sheets, and then they got rolled in a ball, threw the thing out of balance. Well, anyway, you know, long story short, it won't spin anymore. So we went over yesterday and bought a new washer and dryer. But while we're there, I said, you know, our dishwasher went in about the same time that these did. So we should probably look at a dishwasher. So when we did, the lady said, well, if you like this one, you better buy it now because it's going to take until June to get it. So we bought a washer and dryer and a dishwasher yesterday. So there we go. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Are you going to need any help installing that?
I could very well need a lot of help, actually.
Just look elsewhere. Right?
Exactly, yeah.
Tina, how about you? How's your week been?
It was wonderful. Yesterday was the first day of spring, so how can you go wrong? Even if washers go bad, yeah. It's still the first day of spring. We have more light, so I had a great little equinox celebration.
Oh, fantastic. Even though it's supposed to snow on Thursday, right? Right. Craig, how about you?
On that same theme, I always like to look across the street at the Presbyterian Church because they have a new sign that they put up every week. And this week it says, "Here comes the sun."
Yay.
So
nice.
But yeah, this week has been a good week for me. You know, with the St. Patty's Day celebration on Friday, went to a great party. Probably drank a little bit too much. That happens. Flew over to Bremerton a couple times, Truman and I one time, and my wife and I the other, to check out the new restaurant that just opened up at the airport over there. We've been waiting for that to open up, and it's a good one. But the rest of the time has been sort of an all-cars weekend. Lube, oil, filter, brake jobs, I've been doing those, and I probably got another day or two of that. So I'll be able to feel secure taking my wife and our dogs down the road.
Sounds good. That's the sort of trials of a car collector, right? You're never done with the maintenance, right?
It's like a homeowner. That's right.
Exactly right. Hey, Joe, how about you? How's your week been?
Spring.
Well, Kevin, you're jumping in there.
Oh,
I was asking Joe how your week's been.
Yeah, okay. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, I had the pleasure of being interviewed as part of a research project by a Japanese student who is studying at Pacific Lutheran. And I got wind of this project through Mukai. I think Tina probably was responsible for it, but he's studying the impact of the Japanese-American incarceration on survivors and the descendants, and specifically looking at identity formation. So it was interesting to see that people in Japan are actually interested in what had happened to Japanese who had immigrated to America. So that was my highlight.
Fascinating work. Yeah, interesting. Yeah. And that research will become available at some point?
Yeah, at some point. I hope so. Yeah.
Great. Oh, great. Well, thanks, Joe. Kevin, how about you?
Yes, and my apologies, Joe. I misheard when Bruce called upon you earlier. Spring has sprung in our living room. We have forsythia blooming. The daffodils in the vase are starting to now show their faces. And out on the deck, the chipmunks are now starting to emerge from, I guess they must do a winter over hibernation or something, because we don't see them until this time of year. But they have not disappeared. They're back on our back porch. So it's always a joy to see them bouncing around.
Spring is a wonderful time, right?
and I have to just say one thing. You know, all chipmunks are Dale. You know, do you remember old Chip and Dale? Well, they're really sweet, but they are so stupid. That's it.
So, John, how about you? What's your week been like?
Well, I guess I've had a couple nice opportunities to see what the students are doing at the Vashon School District, because that's where I work. Recently, they just got done with doing their play performance for 2 weekends running. And you probably all saw that nice write-up that Liz Shepherd did in the newspaper, really laudatory of the good work that those students did. I also got to sit in and check out the resurgent student jazz band. Mm-hmm. Boy, was I impressed by those folks. Mm-hmm. They really, really impressed me just sort of working with Todd Zinberg, the local, you know, jazz drummer extraordinaire, and doing good work rebuilding that program. And then I'm looking forward to tonight. Our student orchestra is going to be playing this evening, and at 7 to 8 we have our VHS spring concert. So I feel like the arts are just surging with spring here.
Right.
Will that be at the high school auditorium?
That's right.
Yeah.
Good. Thanks, John. For me, this week has been sort of a typical spring week, trying to get caught up with house projects that have been put off for a long time, getting decks cleaned and ready for summer, but also just watching what's happening with KVI Beach. You know, the birds are starting to come in. Some of the migrating birds are starting to show up. So it's really a magnificent time to watch sort of the earth revive itself after a long, cold winter. That doesn't seem to be quite over for us yet, but hopefully within the next few weeks we'll be. And hopefully there'll be some cherry blossoms out by this weekend, is what we're hoping. So today is a significant day, as all days are. Today is the day in 1824 that France adopted the Code Napoleon. Craig, perhaps you can give us just a bit of enlightenment on the difference between our common law based legal code and the Code Napoleon.
I wasn't alive when Napoleon what was the year of that? 18 something?
1824.
1824, right. That originated from the Justinian Code, which was about 500. The difference, there are many differences, and some of them are kind of nuanced and sophisticated, but the general differences between the two are that in the United States, we don't have a civil system of justice.
Yes, no kidding.
we have a common law approach, whereas most European countries, as a matter of fact, most countries in the world have a civil code, and it really is the difference between trying to put all of the law into statutes, into codes or statutes. Whereas in the United States, a great portion of our law originated and still is comes from judges looking at individual cases and applying, if you will, various theories of law from prior cases, tailor-making them. The thought was that even though the Napoleonic Code was a very, you know, big step in terms of justice and equity from feudal times, it's pretty intransigent, whereas common law permits the application of equity. That's the big. There are other differences. You know, civil code countries are inquisitional. The judges do most of the investigation and questioning. In the United States, it's adversarial, where the attorneys are the ones who try to bring out the facts, and the truth comes supposedly from the battle between the two and rises like a phoenix out of the ashes.
Oh, great. That's really helpful. I knew we kept you around for a reason.
I wondered, actually.
No, it's interesting, sort of that philosophical difference between the two. So thank you. And I don't know if the two are related, but today is also National French Bread Day. So all of you who love French bread and baguettes and all that, this is the day to celebrate. It's also the day in 1925 when Tennessee outlawed the teaching of evolution,
oh,
that ultimately led to the Scopes trial. And of course, 98 years later, here we are seeming to repeat ourselves in states like Florida and places like that. So very interesting to sort of reflect on what was happening 100 years ago, basically, in terms of teaching evolution. And now what can we teach and what can't we teach? So interesting kind of times to reflect. I want to switch gears and talk about our small talk segment of the program, which is really about this high school cherry tree ceremony that's taking place this weekend. And it's really a joy to welcome Tina, Joe, and John, who have been instrumental in developing this cherry tree project and the ceremony that's taking place this weekend. John, can you tell us a little bit about the cherry tree project and about the ceremony that's going to take place this Sunday?
Sure. So the cherry tree project really comes out of a recognition that, you know, there was very significant events happened during the Second World War here on Vashon when our Japanese American families were incarcerated. And that history is, you know, often told and well known. But one sort of tangential part of that history is the fact that the high school campus had cherry trees donated by the Japanese American community around 1932. And at one point, to sort of celebrate the building of that then new high school, we had 100 beautiful cherries trees. And that event was covered in the newspaper and was understood at the time to be a real act of friendship and devotion and brotherhood here on Vashon. And sort of over the years, those trees dwindled as time took them and buildings came and went and such. So that recently, when we started to think about this history more deeply, we realized we only had a few of these trees left. And at that point, we were lucky enough to become aware of some funding at the state level that would support telling this story a little more fully with a commemorative sign and some interesting side projects. And so over the last couple of years, the Vashon Island School District has partnered with Mukai Farm and Garden and the Vashon Maury Island Historical Museum and the Vashon Fruit Club to develop a historical language that will be placed on a sign and to find a talented local artist named Chantal Uto, who is an alum of the school, who made us a beautiful commemorative images be placed with that text. And finally, the Vashon Fruit Club came forward and took grafts from the original remaining cherry trees and grafted those on to new rootstock. And so when we all meet on this Sunday on the 26th, not only will we remember the history of the events here on Vashon, but we'll also get to look at the imagery that Chantal has created and to see the trees in their resurgence. And so this is the beginning of something. We're in the early stages of hopefully bringing these trees back and making sure that this time was never forgotten and that it informs our future.
Great.
I'm sorry, did I miss how many trees? How many?
So originally we believe there were 100 trees.
Yeah, but how many have they redone?
They started with 100 grafts, and the question, they will not have all survived. The cherry trees, as I understand it from my conversations, are pretty delicate. And so some subset of that number will be available on Sunday.
Okay, thanks.
And could you tell us a little bit more about Sunday? What time and where and what can people expect?
Thank you, Bruce. So the event, the doors are going to open at the Vashon Island High School, which is located at 204th Street, 9600 Southwest on 204th Street on Vashon Island. And we'll open the doors around 1 o'clock and the public is, you know, invited in and we'll do a building tour for those who are interested. And we hope to have up some haiku by some of our students. And we'll also have our cherry trees on display and members of the Vashon Fruit Club there to talk about in their efforts to cultivate these trees. And then at 1:30, we'll have some remarks sort of from the school district superintendent, Slade Sheehy, and of course you, Bruce, you're going to, as our island historian, you are going to help set the context mm-hmm. for this. And then we're hoping that either Joe or Tina will speak as representative of Mukai and start to sort of paint this event in the context of a whole island history. Then we'll have our artist Chantal Uto will speak, and then anyone who's affiliated family members with the incarceration event will be invited to speak. And I know that quite a few people have expressed an interest in at least being at the event, and there will be no pressure on them to speak, but we'd honor their conversation if they wish to have it. Finally, we will close, and then we will all go outside, and we hope to see our beautiful cherry trees in flower or near flower, and we'll take a look at that sign and the language on that, and go back in, and if people want to, we'll eat cookies, and we'll do another tour of the high school, and I guess the only other thing I would add about this, which might be of interest to folks, is we hope to have a video booth where folks who are interested could sit down either together or separately and tell their story as they wish to share it. And eventually we hope that those videos will be compiled together and then made available to the Vashon Mori Island Historical Society and to Mukai Farm and Garden, and also on our school website, kind of chronicling not only this day, but some of the long held family feeling and context around the event itself.
Great. Thanks, John. It sounds like an amazing ceremony you've organized and set up. Joe, can maybe you can give us a little background about what happened on May 16th, 1942 on Vashon, and tell us about your role in developing this project and getting in contact with descendants of those Japanese American students who were exiled and imprisoned.
Yeah, we refer to May 16, 1942 as the day of exile, at which time Japanese Americans on Vashon were ordered to appear at Ober Park, were put on an army truck and driven to the ferry docks, where they were put on a ferry and ultimately in Seattle placed on a train to a temporary prison camp in Pinedale, California. And then later, maybe 3 or 4 months later, the group was sent to more permanent concentration camps. Most ended up, I think, Bruce and Alice Larson really provided a lot of the information. And Alice particularly was able to trace what camps the individual families went to. And there were quite a few different camps. The Seattle area Japanese Americans ended up in Minidoka, Idaho. But the Vashon individuals, many ended up in California at Tule Lake, and then sent out to other states. I kind of came on this project midstream in substituting for Rita Brogan, who is the president of the board. And I actually enjoyed the project of pursuing the descendants of the Japanese families. And we will, there are two groups who indicated they will attend the ceremony. Actually, the Sakai family, they'll have a few individuals. Miyoko Matsuda plans to attend, and she, of course, was the wife of, oh, I've forgotten his first name now.
Yunichi.
Yeah. Matsuda. And she indicated that perhaps some of her children will attend. So I think this ceremony is very meaningful. And in many ways, a happy event.
Well, and Joe, just full disclosure, you yourself are a survivor of the American concentration camps, correct?
Yes, I was sent, since I grew up in California, my family was sent to Poston, Arizona, and we spent the duration of the war in the concentration camp.
And how old were you when you were first imprisoned?
I was three, and I was seven when we were finally released. So
it must be enjoyable for you to make contact with survivors and descendants of families from Vashon. Has that been an interesting process for you?
Yes, it's interesting to get some of the history of what happened to the families that were dispersed. This, of course, happened all up and down the West Coast to 120,000 of us. So,
Truman, you had a question?
Yeah, I just I knew Mary Matsuda Grunewald fairly well. She used to work with my wife's cousin, and anyway, I got to know her pretty well, and she was one of our speakers at our Telling Stories series that we did for the Vashon Community Care. Fascinating, fascinating woman. One of the questions I had, though, for you, Joe, is you said that the call-up came on May 6th of 1942. I assume that folks had an inkling that this was coming because, I mean, I remember, I think, Mary talking about hiding anything that they had received from their relatives in Japan so that they were not, you know, identified and destroying a lot of things like dolls and all kinds of stuff that came from there. But how much warning did these folks have? Do you know?
I think it varied up and down the coast, but it was a short period of time from a few days to not more than a couple of weeks. Wow. I think the community had an inkling that something would happen, but they didn't know. And even when the order came out, it was so vague that there was no information about where they were going, how long they would be there, and et cetera. It was quite, in many respects, a frightening experience because of the lack of knowledge.
Yeah, if I can expand on that a bit, Joe. Certainly, Bainbridge, which was the first island where Japanese Americans were removed, people knew that it was happening. But for Vashon, I mean, on May 14th, a notice came out and was posted around the island. On May 14th, every Japanese family had to send one member to register at Ober Park. And on May 16th, they were exiled and imprisoned. So in a matter of 4 days from the notice to 2 days later, they registered. 2 days later, they were hauled off in trucks.
Wow.
So it was pretty traumatic, I think, for everybody. Mm-hmm. So Tina, let's jump to you, Tina, and talk a little bit about your work with the Friends of Mukai and the Friends of Mukai's involvement with this cherry tree project.
Sure, absolutely. Well, I am the current executive director at Friends of Mukai. I have 10 more days to my executive directorship, and then I'll be moving on. So I'm really excited and happy to be able to have this really important dedication this weekend. As Joe said, really, Rita Brogan, our board president, our core board president, was the driver and the driving force behind this collaboration. And so she did most of the work. We were fortunate enough to have Joe come in at the end and be willing to contact as many of the descendants of the original 111 is that right? 111 that we're here. Mukai was really happy to be the organization that found or suggested Chantal Uto as the artist for this installation. She was born and raised on Vashon. She went away and then she came back, and she's a really important part of the art community here and the Japanese American community here. So we were so excited that she was able and chosen to be the artist for that. I don't know. What other questions or whatever? What else should I be saying about it? It's been a year and a half, I think, John, that we've been working on this. Collaboration between four different organizations, three of them nonprofit, and the school district is just really important to this really small community. We should also be thinking about all the ways that we can collaborate together to tell important stories, to honor the racial diversity here, to actually let the kids who are here now know what happened before. And so I think that this is a really significant and important piece of history. And even more important that it's actually at the high school, where students can walk by it every single day and recognize that this is part of their history too.
Tell us a little, for some of our listeners may not know much about Mukai and the Mukai House and Garden, Farm and Garden. Could you tell us a little bit about that whole project and what's happening and what's going to happen?
Well, I hope everybody's been to Mukai Farm and Garden. It's right off 107th. It's very close to town. When I came on as a board member, I had only been there once. Friends of Mukai just celebrated its 10-year anniversary in 2022 of being the stewards of the property. It was under a different nonprofit organization before that, and it had kind of fallen into disrepair. So really the last 10 years, Friends of Mukai has worked pretty diligently and raised millions of dollars to redo the house, redo the garden. And it is a really great community service center where we do lots of events. Most of them, about 95% of them are free, to just let people know that there's a really great place to come and visit outside. The garden is free, open to the public 365 days of the year. It's the only free open to the public garden on Vashon. And we have a lot of great stuff in store. We do a couple really big anchor programs every year. We do Haiku Festival, which is happening right now, so people can turn in haikus, and then they'll be up in the garden the whole month of April and May. There'll be some at the event on Sunday, hopefully from the high school folk. But if not, then there'll just be some from people who have submitted. We have another really big yearly acknowledgement of the Day of Exile, which, as Joe talked about, really talks about what happened here on Vashon. Last year was the 85th anniversary, or the 80th, Joe?
80th.
Yeah. Was the 80th anniversary, and we had a pretty big event there. We always recognize it as an important day for our organization and for all the Japanese Americans on Vashon at the time, and also as a recognition of racial equity today. We also do a really big festival in September called Japan Fest. So as you all know, right, we're all part of nonprofits. Nonprofits have had a really, really, really challenging couple of years through COVID, and we depend on public support for 90% of our income. We do have some county and state and federal support, but we are in the process now of looking at our fruit barreling plant, looking at a capital campaign and what it would take to rehab, rebuild, and open Mukai with the fruit bearing plant as a complex. And we all know how much lumber has gone up in the last couple of years. So it's an ambitious campaign that we'll be starting hopefully this year.
Sure. Well, and Mukai Farm and Garden is certainly a Vashon treasure, and what the Friends of Mukai have been able to accomplish in the past 10 years and moving into the future is just amazing.
Yeah,
and
incredible.
If you haven't you haven't visited, let me recommend some time, and particularly over the next month when the cherry trees are in bloom and stuff. It is a spectacular garden, and has been, the North Garden's been restored. I'd be working on the South Garden eventually. So it's really a magnificent place to visit. So let me encourage everyone to do that. Truman, you had a question.
Yeah, I did, about the barreling plant. Do I understand that correctly, that the barreling plant is now owned by the county? Is that correct?
It is owned by the county, and they are in process of selling it to us for $1, I do believe.
Oh, okay.
So at some point, it will all be Friends of Mukai owned complex. But currently, yes, it is a county owned, and it has been, you know, the whole time.
Right. Okay.
Kevin.
Yeah, Tina, on one of my visits some time ago to Mukai Farm and Garden, there was a plan for the restoration of the farmhouse, and it was like a multi-year plan. I'm curious, is that all wrapped up and complete now, or is there still more work to be done on the house itself?
It is. I would say it's pretty complete. There is always work to be done on a 1929 house.
Yes.
I think that there's some HVAC stuff on the list for this year that nobody will actually see. But a lot of it has been restored. If you haven't been inside, I do believe starting in April, there will be a monthly open house so that the house is open for people to tour. So a lot of the kitchen's been completely restored, which is amazing. And we use it as a rental facility. So it's got kind of a modern kitchen with as much period as we could, you know, salvage. But there always is stuff to be done. But I bet you if you went now and if you hadn't been for a while, you'd be pretty impressed about how it looks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been some years since I've been in the house.
Yeah, but you should come in then. Yeah.
Craig.
Yeah, we're lucky enough to have a very large 50-year-old cherry tree in our yard that arches over the lawn, and it's the blossoms are just on the verge of, you know, appearing, big buds in a matter of like 2 or 3 days. Mm-hmm. It's just absolutely amazing. You know, as I was listening to Joe telling the history, some of the history on the island, I was actually moved to write a haiku.
Oh.
Just now. The day of exile, never to be forgotten, cherry trees do bloom.
Oh, very nice.
Nice.
I'm
Good
not a poet.
Job.
My daughter's a poet. I'm not a poet.
Good job. You know, it was 3 years ago that I wrote my first haiku. And it was after our adventure in the treetops, and it was on March 30th, and they were getting ready for the haiku festival, and we all of us had to write haikus, and I really enjoyed that, and I thank you for that. That was very good.
I enjoyed your haikus. That was 2 years ago, Truman.
Was it 2 years
ago? Yeah, 2 years ago.
I thought it was 3 years ago.
Yeah, no.
Hey, time flies when you're crashing.
It wasn't 2020. It was 2021.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, okay. Seemed like 3 years ago.
I know.
Okay.
Oh, thank you, Craig. And I assume you're going to submit that to the Mukai Haiku Contest, correct?
I should.
Okay. Right. Tina, put some pressure on him. Okay?
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, John, let's switch back to you for a second and tell us a little bit about, sort of full disclosure, about your involvement through your wife, Mia, with the Joy and Heartache exhibit. And did that play a role in you getting involved with this project?
Well, thanks for talking about that. Yes, my wife was involved in the Joy and Heartache project. And if you were lucky enough to attend that while that was up, she did the artwork that was in the windows. And she had partnered with Vashon Mori Island Heritage Museum and Metal Creature, that's run by Bob Powell, the amazing Bob Powell, to cut the images out of stainless, mild steel. So those were really remarkable images that were based on Vashon history. And I think that at this point, they are slated to go in at the site of the Mukai Farm, which is managed by the Land Trust. You probably know more about that than I do, Bruce. So it certainly is the fact that that got me to thinking about this, but probably my thinking about the cherry trees started even earlier when I first came to Vashon and started working for the school district, because I thought it was so unusual that these beautiful trees existed on a school campus. They were clearly old and magnificent. And I think just that kind of wondering is what got me started. And as I pieced that history together by talking to Susan Hansen, who is the then principal of the high school, and then other community members, Mike Studdeth, for example, was instrumental in sharing some articles that really started to fill in some pieces, and then talking to you. So I would say it was a wonderful serendipity when Joy and Heartache happened and just cemented the idea that the school district owed a debt to its students.
Mm-hmm. So, and John, your wife, Mia, is Japanese American, right? And her sculptures or her artwork that was in the windows at the museum was actually retreated it so it could be outside. And for a while, it was at the Matsuda Farm and Garden. I think ultimately it's designed to go either back there or at Mukai to be on public display. So so that's very exciting. And the artwork was really based on Mary Matsuda's book and the Matsuda, her personal experience on the island and with her family in the camps, in the concentration camps, and returning to the island. So it's a very powerful sort of artistic representation of the experience. So so thank your wife, Yumi, for us all.
Yeah.
Hey, Joe, Tina, yeah.
I just wanted to mention, if nobody is, or if people don't know, that I think all of the panels, Bruce, right? Is that right? From the Joy and Heartache exhibit actually are living on the walls at Mukai. So another reason to come, if you haven't seen it for a while, haven't read it for a while, just to have that piece of history that are living pieces of history on the walls of Mukai. So yeah, just want to plug for that.
Yeah, and thanks for that. And it's really one of those great ways in which nonprofits on the island can collaborate, you know, because, I mean, Joy and Heartache was a powerful exhibit. And when exhibits come down, they often go into storage or they sort of disappear. And it was just fantastic that Friends of Mukai were interested in moving the exhibit to the Mukai House. And so you can literally walk through the exhibit as it was in the museum. And we hope the same thing happens with Mia's artwork. So thanks for that, Tina. Yeah. So Joe, let me ask you, why is it important now to have a ceremony like this, to recognize something that happened 80 years ago?
Well, as a survivor of the incarceration, I feel it is a responsibility to preserve the history and both the event of the incarceration as well as the cherry tree donation, I think, reflect the life experience of Japanese Americans on Vashon, both the dark chapter of incarceration as well as the contribution that the community made to the school. One thing that I felt being part of that whole incarceration experience, that very few people spoke out against what was happening. And I think it's important for all of us to remember that this can happen, and that, in fact, it is in some ways the factors that went into the incarceration experience actually exist today. The racism, the political posturing, etc. People taking advantage. There was clearly economic interest in eliminating the Japanese American farmers, for example, or even fishermen and so forth. So it's important for us to remember and be vigilant against the possibility of unfair treatment of people who are considered others. So that I feel that's a personal responsibility I have to keep the story of Japanese Americans alive.
Yeah, thank you for that, Joe. It is that old sort of adage that those who forget history tend to repeat it. And so it's very important to keep this in front of us, the fact that this can happen, and it can happen so quickly and so unexpectedly, particularly in these fraught political times that we're in right now. Tina, what's are you going to be at the ceremony on Sunday?
I sure am.
Great. Yeah.
Wouldn't miss it for the world.
Yeah. And John, are you going to speak at the ceremony?
I will say a few words, but I'm going to leave most of the speaking to our eminent historian and also hopefully Joe and Chantal.
Okay, great. And Chantal will be there to talk about her artwork, correct? Yeah. Great.
Good. That's right.
Yeah, let's hope so. Yeah, Truman.
Yeah, I just want to throw out a plug for Give Big, which is a program that supports all of our nonprofits here on Vashon and, of course, around the country. This year it is May 3rd and 4th, and the Voice of Vashon will be kind of the hub for that. We'll be having a number of our nonprofits come and speak, either via Zoom or here in the studio, to promote that. And so I just want to throw a plug out for that and remind folks that Friends of Mukai is definitely one of the folks that you can donate to during that time.
Good. Yeah, Kevin.
And Bruce, you might just want to remind our listeners again exactly the location and the time for the gathering on Sunday.
Sure. Yeah, it'll be this Sunday. As John said, the doors of the high school will open at 1 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. And then I believe the ceremony be a short ceremony, but it will start at 1:30, run for 15 or 20 minutes. And then people will have a chance to walk around the campus, look at the high school. As John said, enjoy a few cookies and drinks, whatever. So, but it should be a good way to recognize this event that happened 81 years ago. And also to just remind ourselves that it's important to keep this memory alive. And like Tina said, the fact that it will be at the high school, it's going to be, the sign is going to be located right where the school buses load every day. And so that high school students will be, see this as just part of their environment. And I think that's a key piece of this, to keep that memory alive. Yeah, and Kevin. So
this Sunday, the 26th of March.
Yes, correct.
Thank you.
All right, I have one more thing to plug. Sorry, but when you tour the high school, speaking of nonprofits, when you tour the high school, look at, there's a couple of rooms that have floors that were native from Vashon. They were milled by the forest stewards and installed there. And some of the handrails and a couple of the countertops are all local wood. Now, some of it actually came from the high school itself that was done by the forest steward. So just a little plug for those guys as well.
Thank you. Well, and John, Joe, Tina, I hope you will stick around here for the next 10 minutes or so as we discuss some island and national, international events. But I want to thank you for coming in. I want to thank you for helping to put this project together and making it real, making it come to life. And I really encourage everyone to be there Sunday. It will be, I think, impressive to see what Chantal has done and to see what this group has put together. So on the local Vashon level here, the Seattle Indian Health Board is planning to open an inpatient substance abuse treatment center on Vashon in the former Vashon Community Care Facility. My question is, will this be a test of how really woke and ultra-liberal Vashon is? And maybe, Truman, you can start by giving us a little bit of background on the community care center in the nursing home and, you know, an event very similar to this that happened, 20
years ago? I didn't know you were going to do this to me today, Bruce. I thought we were going to talk about this.
You should have read the script, right?
Yeah, I should have, I guess. What originally started Vashon Community Care below those many years ago was the Alexander family with Island Manor. They were in dire straits financially, so they were going to sell the facility so that it become a drug and alcohol rehab location. I guess the fear of that occurring to folks here on the island spurred the what was referred to as the Christmas miracle, where a number of donors came together and actually purchased property and put their money where their mouths were and started the whole Vashon Community Care program and building. There's a whole lot more of history involved in that we don't really have time to go into here, but I find it pretty interesting that this has come full circle now, that all the way back to a drug and alcohol program, going back into that facility now.
Sure, Kevin.
Well, Bruce, when this topic came up, I thought immediately of our friends in Squim. And in an article in 2020 timeframe, Seattle Times wrote that Save Our Squim members worry that a treatment facility, which in their case was for methadone and alcohol treatment, would draw too many outsiders struggling with addiction into a small community without adequate law enforcement and social services. Tourism could falter, housing prices could drop, schools could quickly become overwhelmed, Save Our Squim members have argued. Of course, Squim is a healthy and thriving town. I usually spend a couple of weeks every year in Squim. The health center is now open and operating. They talked about the unusually large percentage of their indigenous culture who have succumbed to fatalities from heroin addiction and opioid addiction on the peninsula. So we are likely to face some opposition, but I think we should use the example of Squim, a healthy community who's gone through the same steps that we look like we're going to go through here on Vashon. And I welcome the opportunity to expand healthcare here on the island.
Truman.
Yeah, just one comment about the fact that it's primarily Native American. You know, one of the things that that I studied in anthropology was the rate of alcoholism relative to the distance from the Mediterranean that a culture lives. And the further from the Mediterranean they live, the greater the incidence of alcoholism. And that's because the population didn't have enough time to develop an immunity or a tolerance for the alcohol. In fact, if you look at the Inuit folks up in Alaska, they have a very high percentage of they have no tolerance for alcohol at all. But it's biologic. And one of the reasons why our Native American folks have the same issue is because of that. The fact that that population did not have the time to develop a tolerance for alcohol. So I think we need to keep that in mind when we start looking at treatment programs, that this is a natural occurrence that that we white folks have brought upon this of our Native American friends.
Oh, thanks for that, Truman. Anybody else comments about this proposed treatment center? If not, let's move on to the national news about Trump being on the verge of being indicted. Do we think his supporters are going to defend him? Is this the right indictment to be the first indictment, or is it going to be a distraction from more serious indictments that are probably sure to follow? Craig, maybe you have some insights on that.
Well, I mean, the common wisdom on this is that this particular indictment, because it's not one of the major crimes, it's a crime if proven, but it's not as serious as some of the other potential indictments, which I'm sure we'll see here in the next month. the thought being that that now the game plan for those who are supportive of our former president or the former president, the game plan will basically be set. This is all political. This is a minor charge. This is not worth the time. It happened 6 years ago. And then as they ratchet up the charges, that mindset will continue. It'll be harder to continue in support of Donald Trump, but that's what will happen. But at the same time, you know, prosecutors, they're not, they don't work together. They're in different jurisdictions. They're different sovereigns, states and federal, and they do their job without necessarily any coordination. And it turns out that this one in New York has been worked on for a long, long time. I am interested in this motion that was filed in the Georgia case where they're trying to get basically the whole thing thrown out, and the special grand jury is a violation of Trump's due process rights and whatnot, whereas the special grand jury, by the way, is probably provides more due process than almost any other system in any other state in the United States. So,
yeah, and my sense too, Craig, maybe you can talk about this a bit, is you know, this current indictment, or soon to be indictment, we think, in New York, whereas it's not as serious a crime as perhaps some of the others, is still a crime, and still the sense that no one is above the law. Is that the way you see it?
That is. How many times have we heard this is unprecedented? It is unprecedented. It's unfortunate that Ford pardoned Nixon. At least then we'd have a precedent, and we wouldn't be constantly hearing it's unprecedented. I've always believed there should be, I think 6-year-old daughter at one point said, when somebody did something wrong, she said, "There will be consequences."
Yeah, there you go,
Kevin.
You know, Bruce, when I hear about all this dialogue going on, I'm really tempted, if heaven forbid I ever get like pulled over for a traffic violation or something, that I need to talk about the weaponization of the government coming after me and how unfair it is.
Yeah.
Regarding the deflection, you know, I've heard now, not only in New York against the district attorney, but also Fannie Willis, the Fulton County district attorney, "You should really be doing your job. We have all these criminals, all these crooks. We have a whole prison there that's empty. It needs to be filled up with criminals." Well, I think that we need to make sure that all the criminals have an opportunity to face justice. And you know, I think in the case of Georgia in particular, given the fact that this is such a destructive force against our basic foundational democracy, I have no qualms with the prioritization of Ms. Willis to focus on a former president. That's just my opinion.
Great. Good. Well, thank you for that. So let me draw this to a close. We're down to the last minute here. So the next edition of the Brown Briefly will feature Blair Engelbrecht from the Puget Soundkeeper Alliance. And we're looking forward to talking to her next week. And then for Tina, for Joe, for John, for Kevin Truman, Craig, and I'm Bruce Hallman, we will see you next week on the Brown Briefly. So thank you all, and thank you to Joe and John and Tina for joining us. And please show up this Sunday at the cherry tree ceremony. I think it will be quite impressive. So thank you. See you next week on the Brown Briefly.
Domo arigato gozaimasu.